Aging and Disease Prevention Radio is right here on Radio MD. Here's author, blogger, lecturer, and national medical media personality, Dr. Michael Smith, MD, with Healthy Talk.
So what are some of the latest treatment findings for fibromyalgia? My guest is Dr. Glenn Paris. He's a board-certified rheumatologist, and he's been practicing medicine in Atlanta for about 20 years, and he's been writing for nearly as long. He also writes, and I found this interesting, medical mystery, science fiction, fantasy, historical fiction. That all sounds really cool. And his debut novel is The Renaissance of Aspirin. Dr. Paris, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I just kind of discussed by myself a little bit about some of the latest theories of fibromyalgia, the pain receptors, the pain stimulus, all that kind of stuff. So I'm bringing you on. You know, we have about 10 minutes together, Dr. Paris, and just I thought this would be a good time for us to talk about what are some of the latest findings, you know, when it comes to treating fibromyalgia. Just before we, you know, before we get started in that, though, let me ask you, when you went through medical school, were you taught a lot about fibromyalgia? Because I know I wasn't.
Well, when I went through medical school back in the 80s, we had fibromyalgia, but it wasn't called that at that time. At that time, it was called fibrositis. We were certain, based on the symptoms and the physical findings, that there was some inflammation that we just weren't being able to identify. We just couldn't pick it up. We have a number of biochemical markers. We have a number of imaging studies. We have different physical examination extenders that look at the activity of tissue, and we've never been able to identify an itis associated with the fibro syndrome. So that's been vexing to us for many, many years.
Yeah, which then makes it tough to diagnose. It makes it tough to even plan treatment regimens for people when we're not really sure what's going on.
Yeah,
things have changed
a
little bit. We understand a little bit more about fibromyalgia today, right? We understand that it's a pain issue. There's some inflammatory issues. What are some of the exciting, you know, treatment options we have now available for people with fibromyalgia?
Well, you know, as you and I know from our experience and training, looking for the underlying cause of fibromyalgia has been a very frustrating hunt. We can't find a biological marker that tells us that fibromyalgia is active, how active it is, and how successful our treatment is, or how successful certain agents that we use for treatment might be in advance. So it's literally as if we are whistling in the dark in terms of managing this. But there's some hope. There's some light on the horizon. A number of medical scientists and rheumatologists have been looking at this problem for years. And one of the things that we've come to realize is the pain may not be where you think it is. So, you know, you touch somebody with fibromyalgia and they are tender. They're sore. You know, if you hug somebody, they're in a great deal of pain. If they are sitting for a long time, they hurt. Lying down in bed is uncomfortable. So, you know, the pain seems to be everywhere. But what we've come to learn is it appears that there is an ultra-sensitization or centralized sensitization of the pain stimulus in patients with fibromyalgia. And the best way to describe this, it's as if you've got an amplifier cranked all the way up in the brain that broadcasts an alarm, as pain is, and you've taken the knob off. So you've cranked it all the way up, and you can't turn it down. And that's essentially what you're dealing with in fibromyalgia. Many of these folks are getting the same stimuli that the rest of us are getting, but the stimulus is being perceived as more intense and more noxious than what most of us perceive.
Yeah, so if it's you know, using that analogy that you did, so if the brain is really, in a sense, amped up, is that why something as simple, at least in mild cases, as exercise works so well, because of the endorphin release?
Well, that's another complicated issue. Yes, and in many cases, mild progressive exercise is very helpful for a number of reasons. Not only does it release endorphins and enkephalins, it releases cortisol, releases norepinephrine, which can also be analgesic. It releases dopamine, which can also reduce pain. It diminishes lactic acid. It diminishes substance P. So there are a number of other things that it does other than just produce endorphins that result in relief of discomfort. But in fibromyalgia patients, a lot of times, their endorphin levels are actually elevated. So it's not that they lack endorphins. The endorphin levels are elevated compared to the rest of us. But they're not reacting normally. And there's
so it's like an endorphin resistance of some sort.
Right.
Interesting. So how do we overcome that?
Well, again, with exercise and activity, you know, when you say exercise to most people, they think, okay, I'm going to go and get on a treadmill, I'm going to run around the track, I'm going to start lifting weights, I'm going to play tennis, I'm going to play basketball. You know, they think of the intense kind of sport-related exercises. And sometimes you don't need that much. Sometimes you need something very, very mild. Perhaps a nice, slow, half-hour walk at a very slow pace. You know, maybe a stationary bicycle. Maybe some gentle, you know, floating around or paddling around in a pool. So sometimes the exercise or the activity that we're talking about is very low intensity and can be very effective.
Let me ask you, though, Dr. Perry, this is really interesting to me. If endorphins, in fact, are often elevated already in fibromyalgia, and that indicates some sort of endorphin resistance, is this a receptor problem then, a receptor insensitivity problem to endorphins?
We believe that the patients with fibromyalgia have some kind of alteration in their receptor molecule structures, whether it's the endorphin receptors, whether they're sodium receptors or calcium channel receptors in the spinal cord or in the brain itself. We think that there may be some kind of modification to them, be it genetic or environmental, that have them functioning differently. In the setting of endorphins, in many cases, patients who have fibromyalgia or chronic pain of any sort may actually be refractory to endorphins, and opiates, narcotic painkillers, may actually make their symptoms a bit worse.
Well, but if that's the case, how do you explain then, you know, for most people, fibromyalgia doesn't, you know, at least it's not symptomatic until later in life. I mean, if this is a true receptor problem, a receptor mutation, wouldn't this manifest younger in life as well?
That's a very good question. We see fibromyalgia with onset as early as the teens. We rarely see it in children, but we see it in teens, we see it in 20-somethings, we see it in 30-somethings. Why does a mutation manifest after puberty? Why does it manifest in the second or third or fourth decade of life? We don't know. There's a lot about fibromyalgia that we don't yet know. We know that there are changes in the brain during episodes of pain in fibromyalgia compared to other painful conditions or in the general public by functional MRI. That's not commercially available, but it does demonstrate that there is a difference. We're beginning to scratch the surface of what fibromyalgia is and what we can do about it.
So we know exercise, at least mild exercise, can play a role. You've also mentioned things in your write-up I read about you, diets rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals also can be helpful. In about 30 seconds, Dr. Perez, I know that's really quick. What about some of the FDA-approved drugs? I mean, Lyrica, Cymbalta, do you use these a lot in your own practice? Do you find them helpful?
We use these quite a bit. How successful are they? They can be very successful in a select group of patients. No one of them is good for everybody, but Lyrica, which is pregabalin,
You know, Dr. Paris, we're gonna have to leave it there. We just ran out of time. I want to thank you for coming on.
No problem.
This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.